December 8th. We begin today, as usual, with our reading in the Old Testament. And today it comes from the book of Hosea, chapter 10, verse 1, through chapter 14, verse 9. We'll see that the name Ephraim means twice fruitful, and Hosea used that fact as the basis for his message in these chapters. There would be no fruitfulness in the harvest, because poverty was coming, and God would judge the land. That would be the end of harvest. Ephraim would no longer be known as the fruitful land. There would also be no more fruitfulness in the home. Why allow them to bear children who would only worship idols and then be murdered by the Assyrian invaders? The fruitful womb was always a blessing to the Jewish people, but now the miscarrying womb would be a blessing. What was wrong with Israel? They tried to serve two masters. They lied to God. They worshipped idols, and their hearts were hard and needed plowing up. They sowed the wrong seed in the wrong kind of soil, and yet expected to reap the right harvest. As we move on into chapter 11 and 12, we'll see these chapters form a history lesson that reveals the sins of the people as Hosea reviews the history of Israel and of Jacob. There was ingratitude. Israel took for granted their covenant relationship with the Lord, forgetting that He chose them. In love, He delivered a child from Egypt, carried him, fed him, and taught him to walk and work, and that child abandoned him for idols. What incredible ingratitude! There was hardness of heart. They followed their own plans and gave no thought to the will of God. When God rebuked them, they did not repent. The soil of their hearts was hard, but God's heart was tender toward them. He could not destroy them as He did the cities of the plain. No, one day He will call for them with a lion's roar, and they will come with trembling hearts. There was deceitfulness. Both Israel and Judah, the southern kingdom, are included in this message. The prophet reviews the history of Jacob, their founder, and sees his deceit in his descendants. Jacob tried to trip up Esau at birth. He fought with God, but he returned to Bethel and found God's blessing again. The time had come for Israel and Judah to return to God and repent of their sins. And finally, we'll read about boasting. "I have become rich," was their boast. But it was an empty boast and just a lot of wind. Why? Because they made their money deceitfully by cheating the poor, and such wealth can never last. And now let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. December 8th, Hosea chapter 10, verse 1, through chapter 14, verse 9. How prosperous Israel is, a luxuriant vine loaded with fruit. But the more wealth the people got, the more they poured it on the altars of their foreign gods. The richer the harvest they brought in, the more beautiful the statues and idols they built. The hearts of the people are fickle. They are guilty and must be punished. The Lord will break down their foreign altars and smash their many idols. Then they will say, "We have no king because we didn't fear the Lord." But what's the difference? What could a king do for us anyway? They spout empty words and make promises they don't intend to keep. So perverted justice springs up among them like poisonous weeds in a farmer's field. The people of Samaria tremble for their calf idol at Beth Aven. The people mourn over it, and the priests wail for it, because its glory will be stripped away. This idol they love so much will be carted away with them when they go as captives to Assyria, a gift to the great king there. Israel will be laughed at and shamed because its people have trusted in this idol. Samaria will be cut off, and its king will disappear like a chip of wood on an ocean wave. And the pagan shrines of Aven, the place of Israel's sin, will crumble. Thorns and thistles will grow up around them. They will beg the mountains to bury them and the hills to fall on them. The Lord says, O Israel, ever since that awful night in Gibeah, there has been only sin and more sin. You have made no progress whatsoever. Was it not right that the wicked men of Gibeah were attacked? Now I will attack you too for your rebellion and disobedience. I will call out the armies of the nations to punish you for your multiplied sins. Israel is like a trained heifer accustomed to treading out the grain, an easy job that she loves. Now I will put a heavy yoke on her tender neck. I will drive her in front of the plow. Israel and Judah must now break up the hard ground. Their days of ease are gone. I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of my love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. But you have cultivated wickedness and raised a thriving crop of sins. You have eaten the fruit of lies, trusting in your military might, believing that great armies could make your nation safe. Now the terrors of war will rise among your people. All your fortifications will fall, just as they did when Shalman destroyed Beth Arbel. Even mothers and children were dashed to death there. You will share that fate, Bethel, because of your great wickedness. When the day of judgment dawns, the king of Israel will be completely destroyed. When Israel was a child, I loved him as a son, and I called my son out of Egypt. But the more I called to him, the more he rebelled, offering sacrifices to the images of Baal and burning incense to idols. It was I who taught Israel how to walk, leading him along by the hand. But he doesn't know or even care that it was I who took care of him. I led Israel along with my ropes of kindness and love. I lifted the yoke from his neck, and I myself stooped to feed him. But since my people refuse to return to me, they will go back to Egypt and will be forced to serve Assyria. War will swirl through their cities. Their enemies will crash through their gates and destroy them, trapping them in their own evil plans. For my people are determined to desert me. They call me the Most High, but they don't truly honor me. Oh, how can I give you up, Israel? How can I let you go? How can I destroy you like Admah and Zeboim? My heart is torn within me, and my compassion overflows. No, I will not punish you as much as my burning anger tells me to. I will not completely destroy Israel. For I am God, and not a mere mortal. I am the Holy One living among you, and I will not come to destroy. For someday the people will follow the Lord. I will roar like a lion, and my people will return trembling from the west. Like a flock of birds, they will come from Egypt. Flying like doves, they will return from Assyria, and I will bring them home again, says the Lord. Israel surrounds me with lies and deceit, but Judah still walks with God and is faithful to the Holy One. The people of Israel feed on the wind. They chase after the east wind all day long. They multiply lies and violence. They make alliances with Assyria and cut deals with the Egyptians. Now the Lord is bringing a lawsuit against Judah. He is about to punish Jacob for all his deceitful ways. Before Jacob was born, he struggled with his brother. When he became a man, he even fought with God. Yes, he wrestled with the angel and won. He wept and pleaded for a blessing from him. There at Bethel, he met God face to face, and God spoke to him. The Lord God Almighty, the Lord is his name. So now come back to your God. Act on the principles of love and justice, and always live in confident dependence on your God. But no, the people are like crafty merchants selling from dishonest scales. They love to cheat. Israel boasts, "I am rich, and I've gotten it all by myself." No one can say, "I got it by cheating. My record is spotless." I am the Lord your God, who rescued you from your slavery in Egypt, and I will make you live in tents again, as you do each year when you celebrate the festival of shelters. I sent my prophets to warn you with many visions and parables. But Gilead is filled with sinners who worship idols, and in Gilgal too, they sacrifice bulls. Their altars are lined up like the heaps of stone along the edges of a plowed field. Jacob fled to the land of Aram and earned a wife by tending sheep. Then the Lord led Jacob's descendants, the Israelites, out of Egypt by a prophet who guided and protected them. But the people of Israel have bitterly provoked the Lord, so their Lord will now sentence them to death in payment for their sins. In the past, when the tribe of Ephraim spoke, the people shook with fear because the other Israelite tribes looked up to them. But the people of Ephraim sinned by worshiping Baal and thus sealed their destruction. Now they keep on sinning by making silver idols to worship, images shaped skillfully with human hands. "Sacrifice to these," they cry, "and kiss the calf idols." Therefore they will disappear like the morning mist, like dew in the morning sun, like chaff blown by the wind, like smoke from a chimney. I am the Lord your God, who rescued you from your slavery in Egypt. You have no God but me, for there is no other Savior. I took care of you in the wilderness, in that dry and thirsty land. But when you had eaten and were satisfied, then you became proud and forgot me. So now I will attack you like a lion, or like a leopard that lurks along the road. I will rip you to pieces like a bear whose cubs have been taken away. I will tear you apart and devour you like a hungry lion. You are about to be destroyed, O Israel, though I am your helper. Where now is your king? Why don't you call on him for help? Where are all the leaders of the land? You ask for them. Now let them save you. In my anger, I gave you kings, and in my fury, I took them away. The sins of Ephraim have been collected and stored away for punishment. The people have been offered new birth, but they are like a child who resists being born. How stubborn they are! How foolish! Should I ransom them from the grave? Should I redeem them from death? O death, where are your terrors? O grave, where is your destruction? For I will have no compassion. Ephraim was the most fruitful of all his brothers, but the east wind, a blast from the Lord, will arise in the desert. It will blow hard against the people of Ephraim, drying up their land. All their flowing springs and wells will disappear. Every precious thing they have will be plundered and carried away. The people of Samaria must bear the consequences of their guilt because they rebelled against their God. They will be killed by an invading army, their little ones dashed to death against the ground, their pregnant women ripped open by swords. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for your sins have brought you down. Bring your petitions and return to the Lord. Say to him, "Forgive all our sins and graciously receive us, so that we may offer you the sacrifice of praise. Assyria cannot save us, nor can our strength in battle. Never again will we call the idols we have made our gods. No. In you alone do the orphans find mercy." The Lord says, "Then I will heal you of your idolatry and faithlessness, and my love will know no bounds, for my anger will be gone forever. I will be to Israel like a refreshing dew from heaven, It will blossom like the lily. It will send roots deep into the soil, like the cedars in Lebanon. Its branches will spread out like those of beautiful olive trees, as fragrant as the cedar forests of Lebanon. My people will return again to the safety of their land. They will flourish like grain and blossom like grapevines. They will be as fragrant as the wines of Lebanon. O Israel, stay away from idols. I am the one who looks after you and cares for you. I am like a tree that is always green, giving my fruit to you all through the year. Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those who are discerning listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. But sinners stumble and fall along the way. December 8th. And now, as we begin today's reading from the New Testament, it'll be from the book of Jude, verses 1 through 25. Jude, like James, was a half-brother of the Lord Jesus. His letter focuses on false teachers and echoes Peter's warnings in 2 Peter chapter 2. We'll read about who they are. Jude wanted to write about salvation, but the Lord directed him to write about invasion instead. False teachers were creeping into the church and going undetected. These are unsaved people, ungodly people, and unprincipled people who use grace as an excuse for sin. We'll read about what they do. Like the Jews in the wilderness, the fallen angels, and the evil cities of the plain, they reject the authority of God. Their words are defiant and defiling. Like Cain, they have no saving faith. But they do have religion. Like Balaam, they use religion as a way to make money. And like Korah, they defy the word of God and the authority of God's chosen servants. We'll read about what they are. False teachers promise much, but produce little. Like rainless clouds and fruitless trees. Enoch had the best word for them, ungodly. And we'll read about what we must do. Remember the word and build yourself up in your Christian faith. True believers are preserved in Jesus Christ, and they prove this by keeping themselves in God's love. Therefore, God can keep them from falling. And now, let's begin today's reading in the New Testament. December 8th, Jude, verses 1 through 25. This letter is from Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. I am writing to all who are called to live in the love of God the Father and the care of Jesus Christ. May you receive more and more of God's mercy, peace, and love. Dearly loved friends, I had been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share. But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the truth of the good news. God gave this unchanging truth once for all time to His holy people. I say this because some godless people have wormed their way in among you, saying that God's forgiveness allows us to live immoral lives. The fate of such people was determined long ago, for they have turned against our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. I must remind you, and you know it well, that even though the Lord rescued the whole nation of Israel from Egypt, He later destroyed every one of those who did not remain faithful. And I remind you of the angels, who did not stay within the limits of authority God gave them, but left the place where they belonged. God has kept them chained in prisons of darkness, waiting for the day of judgment. And don't forget the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, which were filled with sexual immorality and every kind of sexual perversion. Those cities were destroyed by fire and are a warning of the eternal fire that will punish all who are evil. Yet these false teachers, who claim authority from their dreams, live immoral lives, defy authority, and scoff at the power of the glorious ones. But even Michael, one of the mightiest of the angels, did not dare accuse Satan of blasphemy, but simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." This took place when Michael was arguing with Satan about Moses' body. But these people mock and curse the things they do not understand. Like animals, they do whatever their instincts tell them, and they bring about their own destruction. How terrible it will be for them! For they follow the evil example of Cain, who killed his brother. Like Balaam, they will do anything for money. And like Korah, they will perish because of their rebellion. When these people join you in fellowship meals celebrating the love of the Lord, they are like dangerous reefs that can shipwreck you. They are shameless in the way they care only about themselves. They are like clouds blowing over dry land without giving rain, promising much but producing nothing. They are like trees without fruit at harvest time. They're not only dead, but doubly dead, for they have been pulled out by the roots. They're like wild waves of the sea, churning up the dirty foam of their shameful deeds. They are wandering stars, heading for everlasting gloom and darkness. Now Enoch, who lived 7 generations after Adam, prophesied about these people. He said, "Look, the Lord is coming with thousands of his holy ones. He will bring the people of the world to judgment. He will convict the ungodly of all the evil things they have done in rebellion, and of all the insults that godless sinners have spoken against him. These people are grumblers and complainers, doing whatever evil they feel like. They are loud-mouthed braggarts, and they flatter others to get favors in return. But you, my dear friends, must remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ told you, that in the last times, there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to enjoy themselves in every evil way imaginable. Now they are here, and they're the ones who are creating divisions among you. They live by natural instinct, because they do not have God's Spirit living in them. But you, dear friends, must continue to build your lives on the foundation of your holy faith and continue to pray as you are directed by the Holy Spirit. Live in such a way that God's love can bless you as you wait for the eternal life that our Lord Jesus Christ in his mercy is going to give you. Show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. There are still others to whom you need to show mercy. But be careful that you aren't contaminated by their sins. And now, all glory to God, who is able to keep you from stumbling, and who will bring you into his glorious presence, innocent of sin, and with great joy. All glory to him who alone is God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, glory, majesty, power, and authority belong to him. In the beginning, now, and forevermore. Amen. Psalm 127, verses 1 through 5. Do not forget the Lord. Jesus warned, "Without me you can do nothing." And that truth is illustrated in this psalm. What good is all your working, watching, and waking if the Lord is not with you? Long hours and sleepless nights are a waste apart from the blessing of the Lord. Well, this psalm is not a plea for idleness, for God expects you to work and watch, but he wants to work in you and to accomplish his will. Do not neglect your family. What good are a lovely house and a big income if the people in your life are robbed of the joys of a happy home? Children are a gift and a heritage, so appreciate them and guard them. They are like fruit, so lovingly cultivate them. They can be arrows for fighting the Lord's battles, so keep them polished and sharp and aimed in the right direction. Give yourself to building a home, not just a house. and building for the future, not just the present. Psalm 127, verses 1 through 5. A song for the ascent to Jerusalem. A Psalm of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is useless. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. For God gives rest to His loved ones. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Children born to a young man are like sharp arrows in a warrior's hands. How happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. Proverbs 29, verses 15 through 17. To discipline and reprimand a child produces wisdom, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. When the wicked are in authority, sin increases, but the godly will live to see the tyrant's downfall. Discipline your children, and they will give you happiness and peace of mind.